Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
We're back.
This is Moms in the Trenches. I'm Yami.
And I'm Michaela, and we're so happy that you're tuning in again.
We are so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for the support. Hey, real quick though, go ahead and just click follow, subscribe wherever you are listening to us, and give us a thumbs up and share, please.
Yes.
You're already,
the more you do that,
your phone.
The more we can get the word out about the podcast, the more we can do.
Good.
So definitely hit follow. That will be a huge help to us.
Also follow us on Instagram if you're still on that. at Moms in the Trenches Pod. We have a very exciting episode tonight. Today.
Yeah, we are recording.
We are. Because, you know, children. We have a very exciting episode. We have some questions from the viewers. So we're so excited. We've been asking you guys for weeks to hit us up with questions, comments, concerns, heavy on the advice. And Michaela gathered a bunch of questions, and we're going to answer them for you guys. But first, current topics. Mick, what do you got?
Okay, so number one, which one do you want to talk about first? I'm going to bring up the soft one first.
It's a hot mess express, so
it
whichever.
I'm just going to bring up J-Lo and Ben Affleck. This might be like old news to some people, but we're still seeing headlines about J-Lo filing for a divorce and
no prenup.
And I did not know until the other day that there's no prenup, which... Mm-hmm. It's kind of shocking to me, considering
messy.
It's J-Lo. Not trying to
throw
any shade.
Like, I feel like that's part of like the love bombing thing that he's been accused of doing.
Maybe.
I don't know. But there is a common denominator in all these failed marriages.
Yeah.
Homegirl, I'm gonna need you to just take a seat.
I really want her to.
You have nothing to prove.
She's in her 50s. I really want her to like work on herself. Just go to therapy. Figure out why you feel like you need to be loved bomb, basically, and have all these have a man in your life when you're J-Lo. Your body is banging, ma'am.
Period.
As much as people say that you get on their nerves, like you're still talented. Maybe not behind the microphone, but maybe not behind the microphone to a lot of people.
Maybe.
However,
not.
You can dance. You're an entertainer. You act like Selena is still
forever.
Well,
that's what I was saying.
One of my favorite movies.
She has exactly, and she has nothing to prove at this point. So, I mean, and I get it. I'm a hopeless romantic too, boo boo. But I feel like you just love yourself more than anything, which is fine. That's fine. You don't need a man to complete that equation.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Maybe she's just feeling old. Like, I can't talk about back in the day, but like, you know, she's in her 50s. She's probably feeling older, but it's not like, you know, she didn't have kids. If that was something that she wanted in her life, she got to have kids.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm sure she has experienced love, like real love. It's just, I really wanted it to work for them so that we could stop seeing her engagements and stuff.
I really did want it. I was rooting for her. I was like, oh shoot, Bennifer 2.0. Like this time it's like legit. They're older. They got some experience under their belts. Both of them have been divorced. Like I said, maybe it's because I'm an idiot and I'm a hopeless romantic myself, but I really thought like this was it for them. Like I was like, okay.
I know. Like, I thought like, okay, they're
second time
she
around.
She made that whole Amazon movie or whatever that was about like having love. Or what is it called? This is me now. She made that, and it's like, okay, clearly,
horrible.
Like you think. Clearly, you think
I didn't watch it.
I saw all the stuff on TikTok. That was enough for me. But like, you feel like you're in love with this man, and whatnot. I don't know. I feel like the way that you see pictures and stuff of him and Jennifer Garner, and they seem very cordial. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Jennifer Garner tried to warn us, like in a way.
She really did.
Or she
really
just kind of like, I dodged a bullet. I got out. I'm good.
And she said it in Deadpool too. Wait, you haven't seen Deadpool,
have
you?
I haven't seen it yet. Dakota and I are talking about seeing it.
Sorry, Jennifer Gardner's in it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. We're talking about seeing it sometime soon. Going on a date, but you know, life.
Kids.
Yeah. So that was hot topic Anyways. Number one. One thing that we did not mention, too, is this question and answer episode is going to be a two-parter because we do have multiple questions and
but we love it though. We love the engagement.
Yeah, we love it and we're not complaining at all. Definitely just wanting to say that it's going to be two parts because if we read all of them in one episode, it would probably be like a 2.5 hour
exactly
hour and thing. You're, so we're gonna
parent,
split it up.
If you're listening, it's likely because you're a parent and we understand that you might not have that kind of time. So
exactly.
Yeah. This is part one of answering your questions.
Yeah. So we can probably leave the other hot topic for part two.
Child. Yes, please.
Because that one's going to take up
Shoot. Some time. Anyways. Yes. Okay. So what do we got? What is question number one, Mick? We're going to take turns and asking and answering.
Yes.
Just so that we're not rambling constantly.
Yes. So we got some questions. They're definitely from people who, you know, have not had kids yet. And of course, always want to preface that your questions, your name, your identity is going to be anonymous. We won't reveal who you are. So question number one is, I've condensed it, but it's, what are the best ways to engage, interact, and love on your pregnant partner's belly? And then the person went on to ask, is cuddling, blowing raspberries, something pregnant women like?
I feel like this is very personal and it's kind of a case by case thing. I will say when I was pregnant, I loved being touched. Like I loved when Alex would rub my belly or kiss my belly. To the point where it was probably a bit over the top, but I don't know. I liked it. And
yeah.
I was also very, it's probably because of the hormones, definitely. But I was also very just like, very touchy feely, like, cause you know,
yeah.
Like
I feel like
I was just into some loving.
It's definitely dependent upon the person. For me, my favorite thing, I would definitely feel joy when Dakota kissed my belly or when one of the kids kicked and he got to feel it. It was like, oh, I get to share this moment. And every single time, I think I have like a million pictures of him when he laid his head on my belly. I would take pictures of him because it's just so sweet. Aww. Seeing him like cuddled up and it's like, oh, you know, like our baby's in here and Aww. He gets to be next to our baby and like, he can't feel the baby kick like I feel the baby kick, but at least like there's some kind of connection. So that was my favorite thing. But like other than kissing on my belly, rubbing my belly, it wasn't like anything extra that I needed. So I definitely feel like it's dependent upon the person.
I will say, though, that there has been a lot of studies on this matter about babies recognizing voices from the womb. So True. I would definitely encourage, you know, if you're trying to form that sort of supernatural bond, especially being the non-pregnant mm-hmm. parent in this equation, definitely talk to the belly, sing to the belly, or to your partner in this case. All things is awesome for brain development. And even though it's seems impossible, it's crazy, but they actually have been studies that have found that yes, babies can recognize sound from inside the womb and they can match those sounds and those frequencies to the people once they're earthside. So that's mm-hmm. pretty neat, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like because you know me, I love The Office, okay? And when I was pregnant with Zion, I noticed it, but also with Carolina, because in the hospital with Carolina, I watched The Office too. But I realized, like, every time the song came on, the theme song, both of the kids would, like, immediately turn and look at the TV. And I tell people about this because I'm like, I listened and watched that show probably twice throughout both of my pregnancies. So
like the little jingle at the beginning of The Office, the American Office.
I totally believe it. And I do remember when I was pregnant with Zion, people were like, oh, you should listen to classical music. You should listen to, like, kids. They really pick up on that in the womb. And just like they pick up on, like, the mom's voice. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't even have to be physical touch to bond with your child
for sure.
While your partner is pregnant.
Also, a lot of new parents and first-time parents, and obviously we'll have another episode about just being a first-time parent and whatnot, but a lot of times we end up buying a bunch of unnecessary stuff. You don't need special headphones for the baby to, like, listen to you. It's fine. Just play the music, have the mom hear the music and feel the bass and all that stuff. Like, you don't, please. Just don't.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Learn from our mistakes.
There are a lot of things that are marketed for that seem good, that have good intentions, but it's like you really don't have do much.
We need another episode on just those things that are, like I said, more geared towards the inexperienced first time parents, and
you
end up not needing it. So. But awesome question. Thank you so much for the support. Okay, next question. I'll read it and then you can answer. Next question. What are some book recommendations to read from an early age for bedtime?
That is a great question. So I will say with us, we're pretty lucky because of where we live. Our region, we get to sign up for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, and in that program they send a book every month of your child's life until they turn five. So I mean, it's amazing when they get older and they see the book in the mailbox. It's the cutest thing ever, and it's based off, you know, the child's age. So when they're a couple months old, it's just little storybooks with nursery rhymes. So that's my suggestion, is just like, when your child's younger, you get the little books that don't have that many words, that have more pictures. I will say there were a couple books that they sent that I was like, I'm not reading this. There's no way to read this book. It's just like, you just show them, it's just different planes or different types of transportation, which is cool, but it wasn't a book that I wanted to read for bedtime.
Or the black and white, like, image.
Yeah, like the black and white ones.
That's good for their brain development when they're babies, but it doesn't really tell a story. There's no plot. It's just images.
So I'm not saying don't buy those books, because they are good. Like, when you're trying to do something, hey, here's this book. Play with this book. You can look at this book. But for bedtime, I'm a little pickier just because I want something to... I want my kids to have something that can be more engaging. So that was my issue when I was buying books. But I mean, you can buy anything. Like, if you're interested, for Zion, we got the, Quantum Physics for Babies. And there's like a series. And it's because, you know, Dakota is very interested in physics. He was going to major in physics in college. So... that was something that I was
nerd.
Like, oh, I know, okay. We're nerdy. But I was like, oh, we'll get these for him. And my mom is a major book person. So when I was pregnant with him, I also thought to myself, like, okay, I want to get books because clearly my mom keeps saying books help people be smarter. And I want my child to be smart. So even every birthday, I'll tell people, you can get a book, get your favorite book. Write, like, you know, and you can sign the book and say, you know, this is for you, I love you, whatever. I wasn't really big on just getting toys, getting books. But as far as recommendations, Quantum Physics for Babies. They have a Alpha Block book. I think it's called Alpha Block, Count to Block. and a couple other ones, but they're really big. We had the Marvel one, so it went through all the Marvel characters, but it's kind of like a flat book. And mm-hmm. I will say Zion was very interested in that, and he loved guessing what was behind the flap. Those are good ones. When they get
those are cute.
Yeah, when they get like
the, I feel like for bedtime phase. Though, I don't really want a lot of interaction. I just want to read it and then maybe ask you a couple questions about the plot or the images, but just keeping it simple because we're not supposed to be doing book reports on this. Like, you're supposed to be in bed.
That's true. Well, I'm saying like maybe when they're like a toddler, you can get the more interactive ones, but baby ones. Yeah. Yeah. Just stick to the ones that are
the tried and true.
Yeah. The tried Goodnight and true Moon. Ones. You know what? Goodnight Moon. Yes. Chicka Chicka Boom Boom.
What's the one that's like for as long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be, what's that book called?
Oh yeah.
I love you forever.
Yes,
I love you forever.
I love you forever.
Yes. The Hungry Caterpillar. We have a few ones that we have a lot of books because we also participate in the Imagination library program, but we have our tried and true for bedtime, and it's pretty much Goodnight Moon, I Love You Forever. Mm-hmm.
Do you have sometimes, the I Love You Mom or what is it? It's like
I love my mom. I love my dad.
Yeah.
And then Good Night Forest Friends. That one's also.
Oh my gosh, that one's on Carolina's floor right now.
Yeah. So
the sun is low, the sky is red. Our forest friends head to bed.
Yep. Yep. And you, eventually you won't even need the book. You'll just recite it by
yeah.
heart.
No, those are good books. Yeah. And then, like I said, the nursery rhyme books, because there's one that is like Mother Goose or whatever. And you just go through and just sing the songs. Those are good for when they're babies.
Yes. Keeping it simple. And then I love Dr. Seuss books, but not for bedtime. Typically, I like to like do the sounds and I get very into it.
Yeah,
so like
Dr. Seuss
the places
is a little
you'll
too,
go and all that other
stimulating.
Stuff. I like those for during the daytime, like story time during the day, mm-hmm. like engaging more sort of thing. But yes, yeah. Great question.
Oh, I'm going to put one more out there that is my absolute favorite. It's from the Dolly Imagination Library, but if you can find it, it's called Sleep Train. And it's like this kid is counting the carts on the train, but it's one of the best books. Like, I think I read it to Zion multiple times when this was a while ago. But I read it to him multiple times, and every time it would calm him down. And he's like, it's kind of like counting sheep, basically. And I don't know.
See,
it's one of the best.
That's how
one
I
of the
felt
best books. I wish I knew
Goodnight
who the author
Moon.
Was, but Sleep Train.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Goodnight Moon. Like, it just, I don't know why. He just loved it. He, like I said, I don't even need the book at this point.
Exactly.
Okay, next question.
The next question is still centered around babies. What are some baby toys you couldn't live without, like Lovies, teddy bears, etc.? And are there any suggestions for new parents?
Listen, I know I've said this before, but sometimes they really do take an interest in things that are not meant to be toys, like boxes or
facts.
Like household items. AJ went through a big phase where he would take all the DVDs out of the disc, DVD disc, like he would take them out of the cases and just throw them. If there's one thing I really think I couldn't live without, it wasn't really a toy, but for Aria, I had the swing that like you had different settings and
there's an
app for it. You can control it from the app. What is that called?
It wasn't the Mama Roo? Was it different?
Yes.
It was the Mama Roo?
It was the Mama Roo. There's an app, so you don't even have to get up to change the settings. There's white noise on it.
You know what? Carolina hated the Mama Roo.
I loved it. I didn't have it for AJ, but I had it for Aria, and it's expensive, but it is well worth it. Because you can change the pace, you can change the speed, you can do sound or no sound, or songs or no song, and you can control it from your phone. You can put a timer on it. It was awesome. I know, it was great.
I like that. Yeah, we never got that far. She hated it. Like, from day one, I would put her in it, she just screamed. If I wasn't holding her, she just wasn't happy. But yes,
another thing that I really liked when they're babies was baby wearing. So I loved any like baby sling. What's that one called that looks like a scarf? You know what I'm talking about?
There's the, oh gosh,
there's so many different.
So I had a Solly baby, but it's the one that I had to wrap around like myself, and then I can't remember.
Yeah, that's the one that anything baby wearing, I always found it to be very therapeutic for both mom and baby. And then you could tag someone out, or tag someone in. Man, you're going to have to edit this because it's going to bother me until I say it. But it was like this long shawl looking thing, and you would wrap it around yourself, and then you would put the baby in.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about because I had a different version of it. I feel like it starts with an M. Hopefully somebody will respond and be like, hey guys, it's called this, because I can't think of it.
Man.
I'm going to have to, I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, Google it, because if we don't mention it, as soon as you say it, I would be like, yes.
So, the Moby? Was it the Moby baby?
The Moby.
Yeah.
Yes, the Moby. See, it was with an M. Yes. So, I loved my Moby. It's basically a very long cloth. It's kind of like a shawl. There's different ways you can wrap the baby, and it grows with the baby to a certain degree, obviously. Yeah. So when they're newborns, you can kind of like cocoon them, and as they start getting bigger, you can put their little legs out, so they're kind of like holding onto you more like a monkey would. It's something very therapeutic. Both my kids loved it, and I loved baby wearing. And I also love the fact that you could wrap it around somebody else and they could wear the baby. You're also hands free. Mm-hmm. So if you have housework, things like that. Yes, I loved it. And for a long time, that was the only way that I could vacuum my house if I was wearing AJ and he felt safe, because he didn't like loud noises and whatnot. Like I said, we knew from pretty early on that AJ was going to be on the spectrum, but that was one of his tells. Mm-hmm. Was like the loud noises he couldn't. But yeah, I miss baby wearing. I do miss it.
Yeah, I will say, again, it's one of those things where every baby is different. There wasn't like a toy or anything it wasn't even a toy. So kind of along with baby wearing, both of my kids are blanket babies. So Zion has a blanket that he's had since birth. Both of them do. He calls it his blue because it was originally blue. And I say originally because now it's like a dull color. But both of my our kids are all winter babies. So like they're always wrapped up when we first had them, and so they've developed a connection to their blankets. And I know that's not necessarily a toy, but that's something that we definitely couldn't live without. And I've bought lovies. Zion has a lovey that my friend got him, and it has his name on it. It wasn't something that like he was attached to. I'm more attached to it, and I have it in a keepsake box. But toys, yeah, kids will make toys out of pretty much anything. Like, so I can't say like, oh, this is the rattle that you have to get. This is the, my kids didn't even like teething ring. So again, it's based off it's based on how your baby reacts to those things. Exactly. It's very trial and error.
I was going to say it is very trial and error, especially at the beginning. But then you could have a case where your kids are completely different from each other. And one might like the teething rings and the other one doesn't. Or one takes, you know, the passy and the other one doesn't. So I'm sorry, I can't give you more clarification on that. There's no one right answer.
Yeah, like there are some things that I'm like, Zion definitely loved this. He would take a teething ring, not for long, but Carolina wouldn't even touch a teething ring. So I can't even, I will say.
No, I was Aria's teething toy.
I will say, though, to pay attention to, you know, your child and what they, how they are, kind of like how, you know, Yami said that she knew from an early age that AJ didn't like loud sounds. And it was pretty obvious. We knew from an early age Zion was going to be interested in cars because he would take random things and just push them along the ground. And so we were like, oh, well, and he would make like a kind of noise like cars. And so one day, Dakota's dad, what'd you say? Right? One day, Dakota's dad was like, he's making car sounds. And we were like, what? I don't think he's making car sounds. He's like, no, he's making car sounds. So we bought him a couple cars. And here we are. He has over 100 Hot Wheels. He has a bunch of tracks and stuff. So
that's adorable.
Just kind of, you know, of course, watch your watch your children and see what kind of ways you can get creative with toys. Like if your kid does like pushing stuff, oh, maybe I should get a bunch of cars. Maybe I should get a bunch of push toys, you know, something like that. And then just see where their interest takes them. With Carolina, it was kind of funny because at that point Zion was going to school and he would be more interested in like a pen and paper. Like he's never really been like the kid who's like, oh yeah, I like art, I like this kind of stuff. But she would see that and then she would take a pen and she would just start coloring. So we were like, oh, she likes coloring. And we got her like, they have the mat where you just fill up the pen with water and then you can color on the mat. So we got her stuff like that. But yeah, I wish we had a more concrete, you know, answer.
I think one the best advice that I could give you is probably try to find some wherever you buy your things from, whether it's Amazon or Bye Bye Baby or whatever, try to make sure that they have a good return policy. Because sometimes you buy something and you think they're going to like it and they're like, meh. And, you know, the economy's tough. So if they don't like it, that's fine. Just make sure that you can return it. Exactly. Get store credit, get something else. And yeah, really try to be present during playtime and engaging. So that way you can also kind of gauge what their interests is going to be and stuff. And hey, nothing wrong with like hand-me-downs. Oh, also
no. like nothing wrong with it.
If somebody has a playmat and your child takes interest, maybe when they outgrow it you can have it, or maybe you can go to like a thrift store, a secondhand store.
I will say if you can find any,
I don't mind
Melissa,
I've gotten a lot of things from like basically anything Melissa.
Yeah,
and Doug.
If you can find any hand-me-down Melissa and Doug, or just if you, I don't know what your money's like. I know that they can be pricey, but like if you can find some Melissa and Doug stuff, that's my favorite personally, because the imagination play when they get older is really cool. But and even as a baby, there was one toy for babies and it was like you flip it and it's a mirror. I don't even know how to describe it. And then you flip it back and it's just colors.
Yeah.
Carolina loved that thing. And then the wooden box that has like the lines and you can push the beads. They're like beads or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then on the side, they'll have little things to do, but it's like a box.
Are they kind of like magnetic?
I don't. Some of them can be magnetic, like a magnet. But I think it's like a busy box. I think that's what they call it or something.
Oh, like a busy
board.
Yeah,
but like it's just a big box, and then it has like the hills and stuff. And you could push the beads around to one side or whatever. Those are also really good, especially once the kid is sitting up on their own. They can just sit there and just like move around with it. But that's about it
for sure. another piece of advice, whenever you find something that your child loves, a stuffy, a blankie, whatever, just go ahead and get two of them. Just go ahead and get two of them, especially if it's something with fabric, because you're going to need to wash it. You're going to need to wash it, and you're going to find yourself trying to bribe your toddler into washing something because it stinks, because it's been through the water.
Look, just get Carolina.
Two. Just get two. Aria has multiple minis.
Yeah.
I'm working right now on getting her multiple Blueies and Bingos because she only has one of each. So to wash them, I have to like sneak them in there. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Just get two of everything. If it's their favorite, if they can't live without it, keep one in the car, keep one at grandma's house, have a spare. If it's like they cannot live without it, whatever it is.
I wish I knew to get two of the blankets for my kids, because, and just keep them in rotation, because now they use it so much. I have to sneak to put them in the washer, because if they see me putting in the washer, they get upset. And then, yeah, know, and then they both have tears, right? In them. So I have to learn how to sew, because if they don't, like, Zion, the blanket doesn't even fit him anymore. Like, it doesn't, it wraps sideways, but like long ways, he's taller than the blanket is, but he has to sleep with it. He'll, like, before bed, when I put him to bed tonight, he's like, "Mommy, where's my blue and then Carolina's always, "Where's my blankie?"
I'm sorry, it's not.
So I wish I knew to get two of them. I didn't think it was gonna be like that, because for both kids, the blanket that I was like, "Oh, this is the one that I want you to love, you know, whatever, if you're gonna love a blanket," they didn't even love the one that I picked. So
I know, right? I have one that's like custom made. My Nana made it from scratch with her bare hands. It has Bishop Baby on it, and it's beautiful. Neither of my kids.
Yeah, Zion, when he was born, my in-laws got him one that has like an airplane, and it has his name on it. And he used it. It was like, you know, something in the beginning, but he really, that blue, that's his baby. And then Carolina, I got her one with like zoo animals on it, and it's really cute, and it became my it became the blanket we used like when we went on outings, and if it fell on the floor, it was fine, because I would just, you know, it wasn't her main blanket. So I could wash it and she wouldn't be upset. But that main blanket, if we took it anywhere and it got dirty, we had to come home and wash it, she was throwing a fit.
Yeah, get two. All right, next question. For parents who allow screen time, what are some TV show/movies to watch separately and as a family? Mick, you take this one.
Okay. You already know my number one answer.
Go ahead.
Is always, yes, gonna be Bluey.
Bluey's the best.
I'm not a psychologist, I'm not an expert, but I feel in my bones that Bluey is the best option.
I second this motion.
One thing, and I don't want to be negative about it, and I don't want to scare any new parents or current parents, you know, I just know with my own kids, there are shows that I was like, oh, I don't like this. My kid's never going to watch it. Now, one show I've really held on to not, my kids not watching, is CoComelon. And I'm glad that we've been able to stick with it. But I never really cared for Peppa Pig, but Peppa Pig plays in my house every day.
I know,
day.
Right?
So I've had to let go of the reins and be like, okay, like sometimes, like, it's not like Peppa does anything that I'm just like, oh, that's crazy. Like, let me, you know, whatever. She's just annoying. So
I'm glad you feel that way about Peppa, because I feel that way about Caillou. Like,
oh yeah, Caillou. No, my kids are not watching, like, Caillou at all.
He is so,
I'm gonna put that in that list too.
Whiny, like, ugh. I got beef with Caillou. I do. I got beef. We got beef.
Yeah. I had to let Peppa go, because I used to be like, oh, I don't want them to watch Peppa. I want them to just watch Bluey and maybe like some other shows or whatever. And my mom was like, you have to let go sometimes. Like, Peppa's not doing anything crazy. Are they learning something? No. But it's not like Caillou. or Max and Ruby. Max was bad, okay?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know who allowed that show to be on air. But yes. Max was bad.
And annoying.
So my mom was, she really sat me down. She really sat me down and was like, it's okay. Like, Peppa, I think, is okay. And I had to get out of my mindset. I feel like it was, a lot of it was postpartum, and I'm okay to admit this now. Because I used to be like, well, I just feel like my kids need to watch something that's educational and also fun. And I feel like Bluey is educational in like an emotional sense. So I love it. But there, I used to research shows. My friend would tell me about shows. It's a British show, Number Blocks, Alpha. I think it's Alpha Blocks, and I think they have Counter Blocks. No, that's Number Blocks. They have one more, Color Blocks. That's what it is. And Carolina does watch that. Zion has watched it a little bit, but Bluey is always going to be my number one stan.
Yes.
Show.
Bluey is awesome. My kids, both of them, especially AJ, went through a big Google Gaga phase. And if you don't know what Google Gaga is, it's just this blue baby.
I don't know what that is.
And this pink baby. And there's no dialogue because they're babies. And and it's just them laughing, playing, very, very, I mean, they don't really watch it anymore now, but when AJ was a baby, that was his thing. And I think it's just, they can relate to it because they're also, you know, babies, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But that was the thing back when, was just Google and Gaga. And they're just, yeah, there's a blue one and a pink one. I'm assuming one of them's a girl, one of them's a boy. It's never established. But, yeah, that was very mindless. I mean, like I said, it's for babies, but it was not for an adult. It wasn't what's up. But it was cute, you know, because it was, like I said, there was no plot, yeah. No dialogue, no nothing. It's you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Gugu and Gaga.
I've never heard of
it. It's literally called Gugu and Gaga. So one of them is Gugu and one of them is Gaga, and it's on like baby TV.
This really makes me mad. Like, it sounds annoying.
Yeah, but it's for babies, and you know.
Yeah. The other thing that if you're really interested, especially when they're babies, Hay Bear Sensory.
The Dancing Fruits,
oh
yes.
Oh my gosh.
Listen.
I know you said you owe some people some child support. I owe whoever created Hay Bear Sensory.
We basically some shared custody support. At one point with the dancing fruits. Like, don't play with me about these dancing fruits. Like, I would go to war. Like,
I if I didn't have it on hand, I would start doing it myself. I would be like,
just go to the farmer's market and get fruit.
Those dancing fruit, Carolina, she, again, my Velcro baby, never wanted me to put her down. So I would at least get 5 to 10 minutes if I turned on dancing fruit, because she would just be looking like, what?
Shoot, it's mesmerizing. Like, even as an adult, like, I've heard some adults watch it because they like to garden, you know, they like to garden.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
And it's apparently like super mesmerizing, so I can only imagine. I love the Hay Bear Sensory, the dancing fruits, and it's awesome. That was really the only way I was able to like do chores and stuff with AJ was just the dancing fruits. I do think, because this question is a little bit broad, so I do think with the babies, obviously, they have a short attention span. As they get older, I would love to, you know, have like a movie night sort of thing. But right now, our movie nights are just basically the adults, mm-hmm. and then the kids are watching some kid playing with some toys on YouTube or something. Like, they're not, you know, I think right. The only movie that we've seen as a family start to finish that the kids will actually sit there and watch is probably Mario. 50 million times.
And you, I have thoughts about that Mario movie anyway. But
what are your thoughts?
As someone who likes to create TV.
You don't like it? Oh,
you can get into this another time. I get it. No, it was fine. It's not even like I didn't like it. There were just elements that, like, as someone, like I said, who creates TV and stuff, that I'm like, okay, I just feel like this is overused. Or, you know, like, elements of it that I was just like, I didn't really like that.
I get you.
But, it's still a good movie. So both the kids love the movie. It's hard for me to watch a lot of stuff because I'm like, I have to turn certain lenses
take your like
off
producer
to be
hat
able to focus
off and
like actually enjoy it.
I get it.
Yeah. So I'm a bit pickier, but like you said, it's also broad and it's also bringing up the topic of screen time. Kid, so listen, for me,
this is gonna ruffle some feathers. Go ahead.
Personally, it's gonna ruffle some feathers probably, but like I don't have like a set timer. I could turn the timer on, and I have before on YouTube mm-hmm. Kids for the kids. But I've never really been like, oh, you can only have the tablet at this time. Now, I'm trying to get to a point where I do that as Zion gets older. But, yeah, I allow screen time. I wouldn't be able to function without screen time with my kids. And it works for us, but some people it might not work for you. It might be easier for you to just, you know, get down and play with your kids. But when you work from home and you have nothing else for your kids to do
hard.
And they're not at
and
school.
And listen, I don't mind different parenting techniques and different parenting styles. It's again, when you like shame people, it's like, this is how I get my kid mm-hmm. to not do screen time in the morning. And it's like coloring books and puzzles. And it's like, yes, I love that. But also, why are you... when it comes across as like you're shaming me and you're like shoving it down my throat, like mom guilt, parent guilt is already eating me alive. I don't need this extra stuff about screen time. You know what I'm saying? Like I allow screen time. Yeah. I said I wouldn't, but again, I was the world's best parent before I had children. Yeah.
Before
so
you had kids.
I used to be like, oh, no, my kids are not going to be iPad kids. And technically they're not because they don't have an iPad, either of them. But, but I do give them my phone, yes, so that they can entertain themselves and I can get dinner done and whatnot. It's this constant struggle of like, oh man, like I've had the TV on for 4 hours, let's go ahead and do something else. And so it's a constant struggle, but yeah, let's not shame anybody for having a different, you know, you do what works for you, boo boo. We're working parents over here. So,
And I feel like screen time is my one, you know, they say like boomer complaint. Like that, this is my one thing that I'm like, I did this growing up and I turned out fine.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
I watched a lot of TV growing
and
up.
You
know what I
TV,
mean?
So
and
it's,
people like complain about
it
that.
It kind of makes sense that you think that way.
Yeah. And so like, you know, people complain and about people who be like, well, I turned out fine. Da da da. This is my one complaint or my one, not complaint, but my one thing where I'm like, I feel like, you know, they make TV for entertainment and I want my kids to be entertained. And it's not like I'm out here just like you can watch any old thing. Like I do frequently go through their YouTube and like block videos and make sure they're not watching stuff that I don't deem appropriate. But I do feel like it's okay to turn on Bluey in the morning before school while I'm doing their hair. Otherwise, we're sitting in silence. If we're not sitting in silence, then I'll turn on music. But like sometimes I'm like, this music is too much for me. Like at least I can process Bluey and it's not like craziness. True. So I don't know. That's my thoughts on screen time. Like again, it just depends on how you feel as a parent. If that's something that you want to do. My kids have iPads. It works for us in the car. And it's not like the one thing I'll say, because I've seen other people post before that, like, oh, once we stop screen time, my kids, their behavior is so much better. Thankfully, I don't feel like my kids' behavior is altered by the iPad. If the iPad dies, they're not screaming and having tantrums. They're moving on to the next thing, and we are able to say, hey, it needs to charge. Otherwise, if they were having tantrums and stuff, I'd be like, okay, this is a different conversation. So I think, again, you just have to monitor your kids. Some kids might just be too overstimulated by having an iPad or the TV in their face.
I'm also that kind of parent that's like, okay, I can't have multiple stuff going at once. So if the big TV is on, you don't need to be on the iPad. You don't need to be on the phone. Like, one device at a time. Like,
Oh, yeah. If the big TV's on, I tell, and Caroline is watching it in the living room, and then Zion wants the iPad, and he comes in the living room, I'm like, you have to go sit down in the playroom or lay down in my bed and watch it. But, like, if I'm hearing too many things at once, like last week I was doing the dishes, so the water was running, and then Dakota had the TV on, and then Zion had his iPad, and then he started playing something on our Alexa, and I was like, hey, somebody, I'm probably going to jail. Like, somebody's about to have to bail me out because this is too much for me.
I agree. Also, maybe I've gotten to that point in my adulthood, but like, why is everything so loud? Like, all the time. Like, why is it so loud all the time?
It is. I will be like, mommy, I can't hear the TV. I'm like, what you mean? It's on 10. It's loud.
That's what I do too. Like, sometimes I'll walk in and I'm like, why is that TV so loud? And it's like at a 15. And I'm like, no, I need it at an 8. Like,
I need it lower. This is too loud. And sometimes even when I turn it down, I'm like, why do I still hear it?
I know. Yes. It bothers me.
I don't think it's changed. I'm at that
point in my adulthood. All right. Next question.
Okay, well, this will be the last question, and then we can record part two next time. Because we tired. Okay, so last question. I feel like we kind of already touched on this, so it probably won't take long. What are some ways you bonded with your babies during the day and around bedtime, and when should we expect to hear the baby's first laugh, and is there anything we can do to keep the baby joyful? Oh, wow, so that's
multiple parts. Okay, so...
It's multiple parts, but like,
yes. I feel like so their first laugh, it's literally heaven on earth. Like, once you first hear it, you want to keep hearing it. How to keep them happy?
You want to bottle it up, like, and then like just put it in a Build-A-Bear or something.
We have a video of AJ laughing for the first time, and it is still our most treasured. I mean, he didn't know what was going on. He was just laughing because we were laughing. It was adorable. Yeah.
Especially when they belly laugh.
I know. Like, how to keep them happy. Listen, I told you all last week or the week before, I was a one trick pony. My one trick was giving them the boob. It was like, you want boobie? Do you want boob? Like, how to keep them happy. I would give them a boob. Yeah. Hungry, boob. Sad, boob. Irritated, boob. Sleepy, boob. That was just, you know, that's just what I did. How to keep them happy. Honestly, and I know this is going to sound a little bit cliche, but I feel like it doesn't take much, like, especially when they're baby babies. Oh, it's the best. Like,
I agree.
When they start,
peekaboo, and they're like, they're good for 10 minutes
believing it. Or when they discover their toes for the first time, or when they discover their hands for the first time, and they're like looking at it like, oh my god, yes, I can control this. Adorable. Yes. Adorable. I would not change the baby face for anything.
It's going to be easy. Yeah. I feel like it's easy to keep them entertained because it's like a cycle. Like, you're laughing and making them laugh, and then them laughing makes you laugh. So it just keeps going. Like, I don't know.
I did read one time, or maybe I saw it in a TED Talks, about how the high-pitched voices do something for their development, like their brain. So that's why, like Miss Rachel, for example, that's why she's really big with the babies, because she has the hi. There's actually scientific evidence backing that up on why that should be the approach. I never really did baby talk with either of my babies. I've always just talked to them like regular words, so we didn't really have like I think the only baby talk we have, which we still do now, is like, oh, you have a boo-boo. But everything else, we call things by their name, we call their body parts by their names, anatomically, all that stuff. But
exactly.
But the high-pitched noise and like doing the sound effects does do wonders for their brain development.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I feel like with both the kids, I don't know, I was just always smiling in their faces. I feel like smiling is what brings out that joy and keeps them happy. Because honestly, your babies are just happy to be with you. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's really difficult. I don't want to make any promises because, you know, again, every child's different. Every relationship is different. Personally, though, it just wasn't difficult to keep the kids entertained because I'm constantly laughing and looking at you and smiling and in awe that you're my creation and you're here and I get to call you my baby. You know what I mean? So that was kind of my experience. But as far as bonding during the day and at night, so during the day, I was very blessed that I had a job. Well, it came from negative circumstances. So Zion was going to go to daycare, but then COVID, the pandemic hit. So everything went online.
What a time.
Because everything went online, I was able to, I was able to stay home with him and witness all of his first moments and have moments of bonding with him when I had downtime from work or, you know, just whatever. Like, Dakota always felt bad because he was at work 8 hours a day and then came home and he only had a certain amount of time before it was bedtime. But I was able to be with Zion all day, so we developed a strong relationship. And I don't really know. Boob was definitely how we bonded, especially the first 6 months of his life. And then just like, I remember if I did have to work, I would set out a blanket and I would set out Zion's like little trinkets and toys. And every now and then I would get on the floor and I would just, you know, play with him on the floor, roll around, laugh, whatever. And then Carolina, because my line of work can be done remotely, I was able to again stay home and she was just attached to me. So that's how we bonded. So there wasn't really much that I did necessarily to bond with her. And I try to stay away from telling other parents like, oh, it'll come naturally and all this stuff, because every relationship is different. There are some parents out there who are like, it doesn't come naturally to me. Like I have to learn this kind of stuff. But, so for my relationship with Carolina and Zion and bonding with them, it was just something that, like, just being able to be with them during the day, all day, that was how we bonded. And then bedtime, we created a bedtime routine, which we do have that on the books to create, like, to have an episode about bedtime routines, but, you know, just a calming bath, singing songs.
The hair, doing their hair is also a thing. And just cuddling,
like, doing their hair. If they're
a
girl,
or even if they're a boy, doing their hair is a great thing for bonding and whatnot.
Yeah. And, like, it's so funny because, you know, my love language is not physical touch at all. I'm not a touchy person. But my kids, I smell the heck out of their necks. And when they have that baby smell, like, that's how we were bonding. Because I'm sitting there. It makes me think of Annalise Keating in How to Get Away with Murder. After, I think the girl's name was Michaela. Or maybe it was the other character. But she had the baby. And Annalise was like, I'm coming in here to smell this is my crack. I have to come in here and smell this baby. I really feel like those hormones do something as well.
And I guess maybe, and I don't know if the person asking this question was a dad, because I'm sure it's different for you to bond. If you're the dad and, you know, the baby's been with the mom all day. But that's when, you know, having those little special moments or certain things that you only do with dad, or certain things that, you know, we wait for dad to do, like, you know, sitting at the table and eating dinner. Like, let's wait for dad. Now, like, obviously, if the kids are hungry, then they're hungry. But I still like to, like, wait for dad, like, to get home so we can eat. Or, you know, obviously, as they get older, playing catch. Like, AJ's in baseball right now, so he's been playing catch. You know, after dad gets home, they'll go outside after dinner and they'll play catch. So having certain things that they only do with certain parents, that's a great way to bond and to establish boundaries and to for them to also get to know what mom and dad likes, because we are individuals. We a lot of times we get lost in our parent duties, but we need to make sure that our kids, as they get older, but, you know, from a very early age, but as they get older, understand that we are our own individuals with our own interests, and we have our own hobbies and whatnot, and wanting to do certain things with mom is not feasible because mom doesn't like certain things. Like, Alex can't wait for the kids to get old enough so that he can teach them how to play chess. I don't play chess. Exactly.
That's not me.
And Alex was like a chess champion. Well, it's funny you say that too, like, he took the stuff serious. Yes.
Oh, really?
That's not me, boo boo. You're not going to do that with me. I'm not interested. No. Yeah. No. And that's fine.
Yeah. No, it's funny you say that though, because I always tell the kids, like, I'm not the outside parent.
Yes.
And that's how the kids bond with Dakota, with their dad. They're like, oh, daddy, can we go outside? And Dakota's the parent who's like, oh, I'm going to set up an obstacle course. I'm going to do all this extra stuff. And I'm like, I'm inside. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll bake some brownies.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, I'll straighten this up. And then, like, I'm keeping the inside good, but I'm not the outside parent. I'm just not. And also, I did want to throw out there, too, if your child is bottle fed, that's another way for the dad to bond with them. It's like, okay, nighttime feedings or something, or during the day, mom's taking some mommy, some me time, because that's something that needs to happen. Mommy's getting some me time, so daddy has baby, and daddy's feeding the baby, and, you know, that's also a good bonding time.
Or when you come home from work.
For like- them.
Maybe you do, if you're the dad, maybe you do bath time. And that way mommy can, I don't know, take a time to breathe. Like, have some peace and quiet.
Yeah. If you can't tell, we're very mom-centered on this.
But we do have an episode in the works where we're going to, the dads are going to take over. The dads in the trenches are going to take over and give their POV. So stay tuned for that.
I'm excited. I know. I feel
like it's
going to
be Dakota doing most of the talking, and Alex is going to be like, yep. Anyways.
No, I really, if we have to exit the room and just let them talk, I want to do that. I want them to get real.
Yes, I want them to get raw with it. Yes, for sure. But Dakota is definitely going to be the one leading that conversation. And Alex is like, yeah, ma'am. So.
Yeah, he is. Dakota's going to be very philosophical. I know.
The listeners are in for a treat, because once you get Dakota going on a certain topic, like, what was that one question I asked them? We were, when we had game night, or was it a play day? I don't know, but it was all four of us. And I
think it was a play day. Oh, I don't asked even remember, about, but it's like, definitely his
beliefs. Like, and it was a very broad question. Like, I was like, oh, so are you a Christian or are you not? Like,
oh, yeah. And then he went on a mini rant.
And then, like, he was like, yeah, I put people to sleep when I talk. And I was like, no, I think it's interesting. But yeah, a simple yes or no would have. But I understand he sets the picture for you. It will also, he up. Like sets the scene for you for like, yes, but also have you considered this? Or I'm what you call, I think that's how he started the answer. He was like, I'm what you would call. And then he went on and on. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. I've never heard any of this before. So that's, you know, great, you know.
It's very different when you talk to him.
Like, it was insightful. Like, I wasn't bored. It was just like, oh, I didn't expect him to. Okay. I mean, cool. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to part one. We will try to have part two out.
We'll have part two out soon. And that way you won't lose your train of thought.
Yeah, but we really appreciate sending in the questions.
But also, we don't know what we're doing. And we never have.
We don't. No, we never have. We're just winging it and trying to help other parents who feel like they're just winging it too.
We really all are just winging it. We are not qualified.
But thank you guys so much. We will definitely have part two out to you guys soon. And we hope you enjoy and can relate to a lot of this stuff. If you have any advice for any of the questions, please feel free to send them in. And we will do updates if we need to. But yeah, make sure you hit follow, like the show.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. You guys have an amazing week. Bye.